Welcome to the Post-Christian Podcast. My name is Eric Bryant. I'm one of the executive pastors at Gateway in Austin, Texas. My foundation exists to equip and empower church leaders in reaching new people and raising up leaders. I'm the author of Not Like Me and Fruitful, Becoming Who God Created You to Be. Join me on social media for Through the New Testament for Skeptics and Seekers. And be sure to sign up for my email newsletter where you can receive free resources at ericbryant.org. On this episode of the Post-Christian Podcast, I'm excited to have Lori Short. How are you doing, Lori?
I'm good, Eric. How are you?
Doing really well. We met years ago. You were kind enough to come to Gateway in Austin and even came to Gateway South Austin that night, shared a powerful message. And I was just wanting to hear about your new book. But before we do that, you are in Santa Barbara.
That's right.
You are in a state that has a lot of post-Christian type of people. You're in a city that has a lot of post-Christian type of people. In fact, my daughter yesterday was on a walk. She's a student in Westmont, and a 60-year-old woman and her struck up a conversation. And this woman, you know, was an expert on all things Christianity and didn't believe in it, you know, but they still had, you know, exchanged contact information and had a sweet conversation. But I want to hear a little bit about what is it like as someone who follows Jesus in a place that's a little bit maybe more post-Christian than some of the places where others are listening. In fact, you're, you know, part of a vibrant church that's alive. Like, what are some of the things you see believers thriving in those environments?
Well, you know, it's very interesting that you bring this up because it was part of the reason I wrote this book, because I feel like people need to see the reality of God. And you can't deny the reality of God when you've experienced it in your life. And all the explaining that we do and the deconstruction that's happening to people's faith all around us and the conversations that are happening are all really important, I think. But the experience of God in your life is something that can't be denied and has to be processed by an individual, even if they deconstruct their faith. They would have to look back and say, what was that? How did that happen? Was I, you know, dreaming it? Was it an illusion? And I think if we take the time to track God around us, we see evidence of him all around. But I just think we're in a very different culture right now that is certainly not as friendly to that. And so being a Christian, being a Christ follower, I like to call it, because we're really following a person, but being a Christ follower today is much different. And I'm sure you feel the same way than it was even 10 years ago. I mean, I think it's changed so much. And so I am super excited about these little uprisings that we see, you know, at Asbury and other places. The Jesus Revolution, the Chosen, the things that are happening now that are causing people to look at Jesus, even in this culture. And I hope to be part of that conversation.
Yeah, I love that. There are some very exciting signs. And in some ways, moving towards post-Christianity is a more honest expression of where some people are at. You know, yeah. You have to realize you are lost before you can get saved, I suppose. And the more people can acknowledge the difference between cultural Christianity and following Jesus, I think it's going to be better for them, better for our nation, you know?
Yeah.
Well, let's talk about your book, because I think it's a fascinating idea, because it's faith, doubt, and God's mysterious timing. 30 mm-hmm. biblical insights about the way God works. I want to hear, you know, some of what is behind writing this book. You gave us a little bit of a tease, but even specifically God's timing of all the things you could have included, faith, doubt, you know, why God's timing? Maybe start there.
Well, I think part of what starts people on the journey of deconstruction is God's not doing what I've asked him to do. He's not answering my prayers. I've prayed and prayed about this, and I hear silence. Why is there suffering in the world? Where is God with all of the evidence that we apparently see that there is no God? So I think that God's timing is a huge key to all of this, because we have a timeline when we approach God with the things that we want. We ask him for things at certain times in our lives. For me, I always talk about, and I talked about this at Gateway, but it was marriage for me. And I wasn't the ring by spring gal in college, but I thought surely by 25, late 20s, that's when I'll meet my guy. And I'm sure others out there can relate to this, but time went by. And when I hit my 40s and then went through a broken engagement and all of these things that pointed to evidence of a God who wasn't being faithful to me in the one desire that I had that was so normal. But when I peel back and look at what God was doing all during that time and what he was preventing and the doors that closed and the doors that opened and the people that were brought into my life because certain things didn't happen and what God did through those situations and circumstances. And this is what I do in this book. I help people track God in their life. And when you do that, it's just what I said at the beginning. You see so much evidence, but it's the unseen that we're looking for. God is invisible. And so we have to have a process where we look for him in our life. And then once you're looking, as those of us who know, he just shows up all over the place. Absolutely. So that's what I do. And yeah. I use Bible stories because I feel like the Bible is unique in that it is a book that we can go to that has been written by multiple people in multiple walks of life, in multiple styles, all pointing to this same God. And we see so much evidence of the things that we go through today in the stories that are in scripture. And so I go to those stories and hopefully take people to the parts of the stories that they might not know. Like you might say, oh, I've heard the story of Moses. Oh, I know the story of Abraham. I know all those stories. But do you really know the whole story of what they went through? And it's the parts of their stories that people don't often preach about on Sunday mornings that I point to in the book and what we can learn from them.
That's great. Well, as you're diving in and writing this, what were some of the, obviously you don't have time for all 30 of the insights, but I'd love, what were some of the insights that have surprised you that made it into the book?
Well, I begin with Job because I think he traveled in a way that many of us have seen our friends travel and people around us who have been through so much suffering and where is God? And I talk about just his journey, because what's interesting about it is chapter one gives you all the information, but Job doesn't have that information, that it's a conversation between God and Satan. It's actually right. Satan who attacks Job, not God. God's for Job. God bets on Job, but Job doesn't know that. Just like us in life, he is just going, why is this happening to me? And I find it fascinating that God never answers Job's question of why. But instead, he takes him on a world tour and just shows him evidence of himself in creation and in the things that happen every day, why breath happens in our lungs, why things are the way they are. I mean, there's so much that we look at around us and just have this assumption that it just all happened, which to me takes greater faith than believing that there's someone behind all this. And after Job finishes this world tour, it's like his whole perspective changes. Suddenly he realizes that he doesn't have any idea what his life is going to mean in the bigger story that God is writing. And that, you know, he says, surely I spoke of things I did not understand, things too wonderful for me to know. And I find it very interesting. I went back to the Hebrew on that word. It really is wonderful in a good way, not just, you know, what you would think he would say, like, wow, you're really powerful. But no, what he saw changed his perspective. And what's interesting is now we have the perspective of looking back on Job's story and we see how God used his life in the bigger story. That's the first place in scripture that you read that God is for the person, not in the circumstances around the person. That's what people thought, you know, well, when things were good, God was, you know, had favor on them. When things were bad, he did not. But Job's the first book that shows you, no, God is actually on your side over and against your circumstances. He's not in your circumstances. So I think that's so powerful to understand in our life. I mean, from there to Joseph, you know, everyone knows the story of Joseph, but what I love about that is that you see his whole life is in scripture, 10 chapters. Mm-hmm. So you get to see kind of the process he went through till he gets to the end and is able to look back and see all the things that happened to him happened for a reason, even the bad things that taught him things that gave him something different in his character. And I know that I look back on my life and I never would have, no girl is going, gosh, Lord, I hope I get married when I'm 49, be so great. And I hope I get to raise a child that wasn't mine biologically. And I mean, these were not prayers that I had, but God has used those things, not only in the people's lives around me, but in my life to change me. And so I think I just move through different stories and how we see things about God. God is in the hard. You know, I talk about Hagar and the lesson that she learned. And I talk about Ruth, who, you know, just simply went to meet the need of her mother-in-law. She saw the need on her path and she did that. And she ends up in the genealogy of Jesus. She ends up meeting a man at a place that everyone said, you're never going to meet anybody if you go. Don't go, you know. And I just think that there's so many lessons of faith in the Bible. And what I try to do is just point you to those lessons and then make some observations of how they connect with our life now.
Yes, I love that. And really, you know, my encouragement to folks who have doubt is just to press in. You know, God is big enough to handle your doubt. You know, picking up a book like this, you even have video series you can watch on right now if your church has that, or you can find it at laurieshort.com. That's LaurieShort.com. But I feel like there's this sense from folks that slips into that old mindset you described with the people of Job. Like if things are going well, then God must be for me. If they're not, then he's against me. Rather than seeing the message of Christianity, the message of the scriptures is that God is with us through the suffering. God himself suffered ultimately dying on the cross, but he rose from the dead. You know, another thing that you made me think of, you know, this invisible, silent God in reality does something more remarkable than an audible voice. He can actually whisper thoughts into our heads, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Talk about, you know, some of the experiences in your own life of how, or even from folks who've read the book that you've been hearing about, how has pressing into doubt illuminated God's presence in ways that may have surprised you or surprised them?
Well, it's interesting what you said. You know, we automatically think when things are going well, God is for us. And when things are going bad, God's against us. And believe me, I still to this day have to battle that mindset. But when things are going well, how often do you even think about God?
Hmm.
I feel like I'm back to C.S. Lewis's pain is God's megaphone for getting our attention. So sometimes God allows things into our life. And I like to make a distinction between cause and allow. I don't see him up there zapping us. But he uses everything that happens. And clearly by making the world the way he did with us having free will, I mean, you see such evidence of that right now. I think that that was the risk of inviting all kinds of things into the world that we've invited by our own free will. But I think that when things are difficult in our lives, we tend to press in. That's when I pressed in. Probably the biggest example I have of that is right in the middle of a pretty vibrant speaking career. But I was at that time talking more to youth and youth workers. That was when my life fell apart. And I had a very public engagement because I was speaking. Thank the Lord there wasn't social media at that time, but still a lot of people knew I was engaged and so excited for the wedding. And I had 2 bridal showers and my wedding dress and bridesmaids dresses and the whole 9 yards. And then it broke up right before a speaking engagement.
Oh, goodness.
And I actually talk about this in the book. So not only was I just having to get myself to church, I was actually the person that people were hiring to bring in the hope of God and wow. why you want to follow him in your life. And he was not working the way I wanted at all. And what was interesting is the way I discovered God was exactly what you said. The way I discovered God in it is that I chose to tell the truth, because I went to God and I was like, if I tell people what's happening, people are going to walk away from you. Like, I know, right? You know, but that's really what I thought. And I heard him affirm in my heart, don't worry about me, little girl. If you don't think I'm big enough to defend myself, then I'm not God. Wow. And I went and I told my story. And of course, it was still pretty raw. And you could just see people just going, oh, no. But then I said, and it was the Holy Spirit. I just said, but you know what? I'm holding on because I don't think God is through with my story.
Yeah.
See, that's what we do. Something bad happens and we end the story. The yeah. end. That's it. Yeah. God didn't work. And we forget that we might be in the middle of our story. Mm-hmm. And I yeah. was in the yeah. middle of my story. I didn't know at that point if I'd ever get married or what God was going to do, but I chose to hold on to him. Mm-hmm. And that's, I think, ended up being a greater example of faith, a greater testimony mm-hmm. to people of God in my life. Because when things are going great in your life, no one really cares about your relationship with God. Right. You know, of course you love God. Everything's going great. But when mm-hmm. things aren't going great and you're going, I still believe, I'm still holding on, that's a testimony. Then people yeah. lean in. They know it's real. So I think mm-hmm. that's the greatest example that I, looking back, have. There have been others since, but that definitely was a place where things shifted for me, where I thought, I don't have to protect God. I don't have to lie. I can talk mm-hmm. about what's going on in my life. People actually see God in that. So.
Yeah, that's right. Well, it's very much seen in King David in the Psalms. He is absolutely venting, so angry with God, you know, praying, God, take my enemies' babies and dash their heads to the ground. Well, that's not a prayer request.
I always think that David was a 4 on the Enneagram, which I am too. So
yes, yes.
You notice that way yes. high and way low. So
he yeah. would go there with God, and yeah. he would end with, and even still, I trust you, even though yes. God did not dash the baby's heads to the ground
no.
like he wanted. But it's all really a lot of perspective and asking God to change and see, you know, what you see. There's a great quote out there. A Jewish novelist came to Christ named Andrew Clavin. He said, when you believe, the evidence is all around you. If you don't believe, no evidence will ever be enough. You know, and I think that's really, you know, do you want to believe? Do you want to find God? Because he will reveal himself to you.
Mm-hmm.
And so I love that this book is helping us press into the doubts, press into our circumstances. One other thought, you know, that perspective change, there's this really odd verse where Paul says, and I know that God will safely deliver me into his kingdom. It's like, wait a minute. I like the, I know I will be safe. I don't like the, into heaven, you know, like, but really this is not all there is, you know, and eternal life can start now in a relationship with Jesus, and you can experience his presence and peace now, but there is something about the importance of a perspective. I mentioned your website. Is there other ways that people can follow you?
Yes, I'm on Instagram. I do a 10-minute podcast, which is just a spiritual insight each week. And you can find that. That's by the same name of the book, Faith, Doubt, and God's Mysterious Timing. And I would love it if small groups thought about doing this book. I've been hearing from so many people that it has provoked great discussion wherever you're at in your faith, whether you've been walking with the Lord forever or you are just, you know, checking it out. These questions and these lessons, I think, are things that anybody can get something out of. And what my hope and prayer for this book is that it will help people see God in their own life.
Yeah.
And be able to trust him, even when it looks like things are not happening the way you yeah. want. You yeah. know, God has a plan, and you have to hold on through the timing to see what it is. And it also will involve many more people than you. and your situation. And that's part of how God works, because he wants to use us in our life. And we all know that he uses us more in our places of pain than anything else in our life. That's our connector.
So. That's right. You know, there's a fascinating little moment in Job 33 when you get the one guy that seems to be giving good advice. He says that every person on the planet will either have a messenger, a dream, or experience pain in order that they might choose God. Hmm. You know, that's this beautiful idea that God is pursuing everyone around us, including us. Are we willing to let him find us? Are we willing to be found? Are we willing to draw near to search ourselves? So thank you, Lori, for all that you're doing to help us have more faith. Really grateful for you.
Oh, thanks, Eric. Well, it was great to talk to you.
Thanks for joining us on the Post-Christian Podcast. More resources available at ericbryant.org.